You're listening to The Cultural Hall with your hosts, Richie T. Stedman and Ashley Garvey Smith. It's a show about Mormon stuff.
Nephi! Ella! Samuel! Give us land to live righteously!
All right, it's episode 51 of The Cultural Hall. Here joining with me, Richie T., is your anxious white virgin, Brittany.
Hello.
And Rob.
Hello.
He's your DJ that's the life of the party.
Yes, I am.
Who just got picked.
What'd you just get picked for?
Well, I'm part of this DJ service where it's a national service. It's really just so I can fill extra dates. I'm on a DJ listing. And the bride picked my profile.
Congratulations.
She liked the way
I looked. You have a good-looking picture?
Sure.
It's not the one in the vest, is it?
Probably.
That's a terrible picture.
Wait,
the one in the vest?
Yeah.
Maybe.
The one in the vest is a terrible picture.
But guess what? I got new headshots.
Oh, good.
You want to look at them?
Because the one in the vest is... No, I don't want to.
Well, look at
them. We have a guest. You're being rude to our guest.
Oh, sorry. I'm being rude.
Our guest here, episode 51 of The Cultural Hall. We teased it. We asked you about it on Facebook. And,
yes.
And as it turns out, one of the you're a convert to the program, or are you a lifer?
I'm a convert.
Okay. What brought you in?
My aunt. In fact, you read an email once from her on your show.
Your aunt?
Yep.
Yeah. What's your aunt's name?
Janet.
Okay.
What was her email about?
Just how much she enjoyed the show.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
It wasn't anything.
And how old is Janet?
I don't want to say.
Yeah, but
she's my aunt.
That's a demographic we don't often hear about.
Your democratic. Yeah. Your normal
that's awesome.
Listener.
But no, it's great to hear we have older listeners besides my mom.
And all she said was, hey, I like this. How did she come to hear about the Cultural Hall?
I'm guessing her son, who's about my age, I think was the first one to start listening. And then I think...
And him? Do you know how he got in? I'm just trying to follow genealogy.
You're going to follow
thing.
The genesis
big,
of this, really?
He's a
really?
Big podcast listener, so I'm not exactly sure how he found it.
Okay.
But he is, as far as I know, he's the genesis of the of how this all came to be. His aunt started listening, his mom, which would be my aunt, and then she told me to start listening. So that's where we get to me.
And what have you thought so far?
Oh, I enjoy it.
What's your favorite episode?
You know... I'm not thinking of his name right now, but it's the guy that was a comedian that was in the singles ward.
Keith Stubbs?
Kirby?
No. Michael B.
Yeah, Michael B.
Michael B.
Yep. That's a good one.
He just got engaged, too.
He did?
Yeah.
Good
Michael
for
B
him.
Is engaged to his girlfriend.
I just ran into him at a party the other day.
He's a beautiful girl.
Really?
And he just did another commercial. I can't remember what it was for, but that's exciting.
Marrying up.
Marrying up.
Well, he's famous. He can do that.
Is it marrying up if you're famous?
Or
do you marry beauty and you trade it for popularity and famousness? Is it straight across?
I don't know. Is that a myth we need to talk about?
I don't know. So it's Mormon myths because it's episode 51, which is like Area 51.
Woo!
So that's what this whole episode is going to be talking about. So we're not going to bore you with an introduction except what we've already bored you with. And the reason why Casey is here is you emailed into the show as we had talked about Mormon myths that we wanted to do an episode, and you said, hey, guess what, I do a website. So tell us a little bit about how that website came about and what you do.
Well, it started out, actually, I served a mission in Austria back when it was still the Austria mission.
Well, then good day, mate.
Is it part of something else?
That's Australia, you idiot.
It's also Dumb and Dumber, thanks pal.
The Europe mission missions in Europe kind of do the opposite of South American missions. So
yeah.
they're going back to like the early days of, it's now called the Alpine German Speaking Mission.
Oh, wow.
So when I was there, it was just Austria.
Yeah.
Now it includes Austria, Switzerland, and Southern Germany, the former Munich mission.
Okay.
So yeah, it's getting bigger instead of smaller. But anyways, I was serving a mission, and a mission, of course, is a great time for Mormon myths being spread.
Yes.
And so I heard a lot, and I remember one time in particular, I was in this apartment where there was two sets of elders. So there'd be four of us. We'd like to hang out at night, just kind of, you know, sitting on the couches talking. And I remember one missionary saying that Sting once sang Book of Mormon Stories.
Mm-hmm.
Sting?
Sting, yeah. Sting as in the police sting.
As in Gordon Sumner.
Yes, exactly. And I was calling BS big time on this.
Yeah,
there's no way Sting ever sang. And I remember I went and wrote it down, like in the back of my little missionary journal, and I said, I'm going to get back to you when I prove this wrong and let you know, because he was 100% certain.
No, I swear, dude, I swear, my brother, my dad, I know.
Well, he had heard it. You know, he'd heard it on a CD, and so he was positive that it existed. So that kind of started me collecting these Mormon myths in the back of my journal for the rest of my mission. Anytime I heard one, I just flipped to the back and wrote them down. At that time, I kind of started thinking, like, I'm going to compile these into a book. And eventually, once I got home from a mission, internet getting even bigger and bigger as we talk here.
When did you go on your mission?
Along, 96 to 98.
Okay.
So came home, you know, found Snopes, those kind of websites, and thought, this is a lot easier. I also got into some web design so I could do it myself. So then I thought, no, it's going to be a website. It took me close to 10 years before I ever finally got it going, but it did eventually happen.
How come it took so long?
Well, you know, when you get home from a mission, sometimes you end up getting married.
Yeah, sometimes. not for Rob.
And having children.
No. Not for Brittany.
I also was
fulfilling your second mission,
So, yeah, school, family, all those kind of things got in the way. But eventually...
I like your advertisers.
Yeah, the girl in the underwear.
Wait,
nice.
What?
What?
Those are Google ads, and they are random. I try to block some of them that might offend
people.
It's
hard to do.
It's hard to do because they just keep coming. And I do get the little email submission saying, what are you doing having this on your website? Blah, blah,
I don't
blah.
Judge. I just find it.
So you are then benefiting monetarily from this now?
Oh, yes. No, not. I mean, I do, but I barely make anything to make it worth my time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, my suspicion would be.
Is it a labor of love?
Labor of love.
It would be more of a labor of love, yeah.
Does your wife ever give you a hard time about it?
She doesn't, because I am a big University of Utah football fan. I have season tickets, and I make pretty much exactly what season tickets cost me. And so I just always say, the website pays for my season tickets.
That's good.
And the website, because we haven't mentioned it yet, holyfetch.com, which I think is the best
URL
for a website like this ever.
Better than Anxious White Virgin?
Yeah.
Right?
It's a different thing.
Yeah, it's
And
true.
It was started in what year?
Ooh, I'm going to say like 2005-ish. I don't know.
Cool.
I don't
so it's been
exactly.
up for a while. That's great.
It's called holyfetch.com, and then a little subject or like a little subline, the Mormon Urban Legends website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I avoided myths because Mormon myths can go either way as far as kind of a negative Mormon myth.
Sure. So and you wanted to make sure it was a positive site?
Right.
Yes.
Are you yourself an active person in the LDS Church?
I am, yes.
So you want to make sure that it didn't come across as anti?
Right. Yeah. Right. I try hard, and I don't get into very often any sort of deep doctrine kind of myths or urban legends.
I try
to keep it to the more entertainment fun side of it.
Did we talk about the three Nephites ever?
We do. Yeah.
Should we start with that one?
You can't have a Mormon urban legend.
No, that's true.
I just want to tease a couple of things at the top of the website real quick, and then we'll get into it. I love it. There's four little stick figures. Did you draw these?
I did.
In paint? Is that
Photoshop, okay. actually.
It's like from Draw Something.
The first one, Holy Fetch. Did you know that Cain is Bigfoot?
Yep.
We'll get into that.
That's
My
true.
Grandpa believes that.
Hang on. We'll I get into that. That. Next one. Holy Fetch. I just love that. I just heard that Ted Bundy was a Mormon. So we'll get into that, too.
Yes, yes,
Holy
yes.
Fetch. Do you really think Sting sang the Book of Mormon stories? Which
there
we already
that's
mentioned.
Where it all started.
And the stick figures are missionaries in homage to your companion, I imagine.
And then, Holy Fetch, I can't believe all the answers I found at holyfetch.com. So let's start where you already introduced it. Sting singing the Book of Mormon stories.
It was a person that sounded a lot like Sting, that was an LDS member, but it is not Sting.
Right. I've heard that song.
I have too. And that as soon as you started into it, I was like, yeah, it. When I first heard it, I was like, that really sounds pretty Stingy.
Yeah.
But was in fact not. So, all right, now we want to go Cain Bigfoot, because your grandpa?
Okay, my grandpa, who is so wonderful and so eccentric and just so very, very Mormon. And he has really, you know, he has theories on things, but he says that Cain is indeed Bigfoot. And I grew up hearing stories about it, and I was terrified to go camping because I just knew that Cain/Bigfoot was going to find us and hurl large boulders at us.
So the origin of that is...
Early members And I don't know everything off the top of my head, but that's why you should go to the website if you're totally interested.
You mean holyfetch.com?
Exactly, holyfetch.com.
I'm interested.
Because isn't there scripture that he was given?
There is a letter written by a early member saying that he saw some sort of hairy beast.
Yes.
And it was later said, like, well, this possibly could be Cain because Cain was cursed.
Yeah.
Never has the church officially come out and said that Cain is Bigfoot, so... I think I put undetermined on that one.
Okay.
Just to cover my bases there.
Wasn't he put a mark upon him or something like that? It says that in the Bible. And then I've also heard the story that somebody was riding on their horse and Bigfoot started running next to him.
I heard the same story, only they were in a car.
Oh, no. This was like early church history. Oh,
okay. Yeah. The letter that is referred to as he's on his horse.
That's
walking
it.
Down the, like... walking next to like a wood fence or something.
Yeah.
And this creature is as tall as he is on his horse is how I kind of remember.
That's it.
But
yeah.
So, well, why would Cain be tall?
Because
well,
back
when you
then,
become Bigfoot, you grow an inch or two.
Plus evolution.
And you hope by then you will be ready.
Exactly.
Such.
To teach and preach as
to
only
teach,
Cain could
to,
do.
To screech and scare and...
Side run along the side of carriage.
Side note to that, though. You talked about the mark of Cain.
Yes, the mark of Cain.
That's this is another one of those Mormon, like, false doctrines, or I won't say false because maybe this is accurate, but I know that there are plenty of people out there, mostly older generation, who believe that the mark of Cain is where we get black people from.
Sure. There was that
and
huge thing
and that's why
down
they couldn't
at BYU
have the priesthood.
Most recently, right? Yeah. Where the guy said, hey, this is something that was taught for the longest time, and the LDS church said, no.
No.
No, that was not something. It was something that everyone said was taught.
It was an actually a Mormon doctrine, I think.
Was it?
From Elder
McConkie. He wrote a little bit about it.
So if you can, is that something that's on holyfetch.com?
Not that I do not think so.
Would that be one of those sort of topics that you would shy away from just because it's
I would probably
too close to the church.
Shy away from it a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because it's borderline, and I could see, because there are people who really truly believe that, and, you know, it's, I could see that being very controversial for some people.
I avoid controversy. I still find it, but I try to avoid it.
Okay.
But I do.
What's been the most controversial with people of posts that you've put?
It comes down to maybe, let's see, I'd say two that are really controversial. First one is that the early pioneers broke their china to use in the Kirtland Temple, like in the stucco of the Kirtland Temple.
That's not true.
It's been said very often, and it's even been said by prophets, but never proven to be true. And a lot of research, including a BYU professor of history, did a big paper about it saying that it was very unlikely true. And what really always shows that a myth is most likely untrue is that you don't hear about it for 15, 20 years until after the event. So no pioneers wrote about breaking their china in their journals.
Mm-hmm.
But 20 years later, someone writes a letter saying, I remember when great-grandma broke her china and put it in the Kirtland Temple. But for some reason, no one actually wrote about it when the actual event happened.
See, that
they also
sense.
Said that it would make no sense that if you had china that was
right.
good, you would do better, more good for the temple to sell that china and donate the funds than actually break that china and use it in the stucco.
Not only that, but you would have to have gross amounts of china. Otherwise, there would be like one brick that would be sparkly.
One sparkly brick.
And then the rest of it would not be sparkly because really, that's a lot of brick.
But just mentioning that on this podcast, I can guarantee a few angry emails.
Oh, yeah. Someone's going to write an email. My grandmother broke her china. How dare you?
And so there's that one. And what's the other one?
Well, actually, I've even thought of more now. But the Hawaii Temple.
Talk about it.
Hawaii Temple.
The La'i'e Temple.
Is a big one. That there was during the bombing of Pearl Harbor, which wasn't even really near the temple, there was the pilot flying over that for some reason he's either... feels like he shouldn't do it. Sometimes his equipment jams up. The story's always
different.
Yeah,
he tried to drop the bomb.
Tries
and
to bomb, can't do it. And then eventually, years later, missionaries knock on his door, show him a picture of the temple. He remembers, that's the temple I couldn't bomb, and becomes converted. I've had people swear to me that they've talked to the actual person that related the story. Yet once again, there have been several BYU professors that have researched this and have never found any shred of proof to back it up.
Well, the fact that it's so far away from Pearl Harbor, and this guy's just like, yeah, I think I'll bomb that. Yeah, that seems...
Oh, yeah, over there. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's on the other side of the island. And you got to wonder where the origins of that story came from.
Right?
Right. Okay. So here's mine. This one is really interesting because whenever I tell this story, let's listen to Rich's reaction.
Okay.
So they're sister missionaries. They're late for church. So what they do is they put water in their gas and they pray for it. They put water in their car and pray for it to be gas. And then they end up ruining the car, right? So whenever I tell this story, I hear people say, that happened in my mission. And then I say to people,
ruined the car, that they turned to gas and they were able to drive.
No. That it ruined the car.
Oh, that they actually did it and then tried and it didn't work.
It wasn't a miracle, but it was like,
The laws of physics would dictate.
So it's one of those stories, sister missionaries, what will they think of next kind of a story.
Uh-huh.
And whenever I tell that story, people always say, that happened in my mission. And I tell people, it happened in everybody's mission. Have you ever heard that story?
I have.
Okay.
I have a section called Legends, which are those kind of stories that are impossible to prove.
Yes.
Either correctly or falsely, but that are still fun to spread. And there are dozens.
Go to them. I want to hear some of the other ones.
And they happen in everyone's mission.
And most of them kind of refer to missions, it seems like.
Yeah. I love how everybody thinks it happened in their mission.
A similar one, which is more what you are thinking about, is that missionaries are in a really bad neighborhood. They run out to their car. And there's gang members or bad, really shady looking people around this car. But they jump in it, hurry and just drive away, get out of there as fast as they can, get back to their apartment. And then the car won't start the next morning. They open the hood and the engine had been stolen. These gang members had stolen out critical parts of this engine. And that's why they were all shocked that these missionaries could get away, because this engine should not have been able to function.
Mm-hmm.
That happens in every mission, too.
Yeah.
You have this one, one of my favorite ones, the three Nephites and the serial killer.
Yep.
It's one of my favorites.
I'm not familiar with it.
Oh,
okay, so there's
on.
Two sister missionaries.
No, let our guest tell this story.
You can. It's fine. I'm just saying that's impossible. You can't.
No, I don't think I've ever heard this.
Two sister missionaries are proselyting.
Okay.
They go to this house. They knock on the guy's door. He invites them in. And then he stops for a moment and he says, you know what? You better leave. And he shuts the door. They're at a member's house the next day or two watching the TV. And on the news, they show a picture of this man, a mugshot, and he's a serial killer.
Uh-huh.
So for some reason, the sister missionaries go to the jail where he's being held. And they said, why didn't you attack us that day? Why did you shut the door on us? And he said, well, I would have, but there were three Indian guys standing right behind you.
Really?
Yeah.
And sometimes to make it better, the serial killer will be someone famous. So it'll be either Ted Bundy or Jeffrey Dahmer or someone that people actually know, just to add a little bit more to the story.
So is it true or not true?
It's true.
Oh,
yeah. It was Ted Bundy.
Yeah, it was Ted
That's
Bundy.
That's what I want to know about. Well, I've never heard that Ted Bundy was a Mormon. I know that he abducted people in Utah.
He converted. Yep.
That one
is true.
Did he?
I don't think
he converted while he was in jail?
He converted while he was going to the University of Utah at law school.
Okay.
So before he went murderous.
No, he was already murderous. This guy was a sociopath. He joined the church to get close to people. There was a woman in my home ward, who actually went out on a date with him.
One of my mom's best friends went on a date with him.
Yeah.
As did mine.
Weird.
Sorry, we're stepping on your toes.
He got around.
Yeah, he did. He was a good-looking guy, wasn't he? Ted
Yeah,
Bundy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look it up.
He's a sociopath. He was a good-looking guy, and he was sociopath and psychopath.
I went to holyfetch.com and I printed out a few that I thought were interesting. And I'm going to share those in the second block here in just a minute. It's episode 51. It's Casey. Did we say your last name? Do you mind if we say your last name?
Go ahead.
Cummings. Casey Cummings.
Like the chocolates?
Just like the chocolate, but no relation.
Oh.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have to have a website that paid for U of U football tickets. That'd be chocolate money. That's coming back in the second and third block.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5500. To book your shoot today.
Time now for the second block of the Cultural Hall. Thank you so much for being here with us, Casey. It's holyfetch.com. It's anxiouswhitevirgin.blogspot.com.
Word.
It's life-of-the-party.com.
There you go.
And theculturalhall.com. That's me. So,
so we're all represented by
our own respective websites.
There you go.
And I promise for all those readers of mine that my blogs will cease to be so angsty. I feel like they've been really angsty as of late, but I've been going through some hard stuff.
Your sushi one was good, though.
Yeah.
I heard a myth that part of your website is not true anymore. We'll have to find out if that's true.
Ooh.
She's not so anxious. That's the part.
It's true. I'm heavily medicated now, so I'm... It's not true.
No, it's not true, guys. Seriously, you can date me still. I'm not heavily medicated.
No, I'm not crazy. I mean...
Okay, so I went to holyfetch.com, and I printed out some ones that I thought were pretty interesting. Some of these I'd never heard before.
I'm excited.
This one. Did Elder Bednar claim that a Mitt Romney nomination would lead to greater persecution?
I don't know.
That seems reasonable. It seems plausible.
Here we go. The email below, or something very similar to it, has been making the rounds in members' inboxes. Elder Bednar of the Quorum of the Twelve was here to a singles conference this past week. He told them that if Mitt Romney wins the Republican nomination, that the church would see persecution that we have never seen before in our lifetime. He said that even the sacred temple covenants would be made known to the world and that our testimonies would be tested. Then again, at our Book of Mormon class last evening, the instructor repeated the same thing. He said that the message to us is to be prepared for this and just keep our eyes on the prophet and for us to stand firm in our testimonies and not be shaken by what is going on around us or what would be required of us. If this does happen, it will be in fulfillment of the scriptures, so we knew it would be coming sometime. Please see that young folks of our families are spiritually and mentally prepared for this, so if and when it comes, we can all stand firm. The rumor?
Okay.
False.
Question. It goes along with this.
Okay.
And I can't remember where I heard this, but this, you might, maybe you'll be able to answer this for me.
Casey.
Sorry, because people listening can't see who I'm looking at.
Right.
I heard that there is, it's either like in the Book of Revelation or something that says a descendant of the house of something will be sitting in the presidency when the second coming comes. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Like they've said, we'll know it's the second coming because someone of a certain lineage will be in the president's seat. Anyone?
Casey?
Well, like I said earlier, I don't get into very deep doctrine kind of things. I do know that there, and I don't know where this comes from, but they do say that there'll be two members, leaders, you know, not the ones that are going to die, but just two leaders. And so everyone keeps saying that Mitt Romney and...
Mike Levitt?
Rubio.
Marco Rubio?
Yeah, Marco Rubio.
I say Levitt because he'll be his chief of staff.
That those two will be, are those two prophesied... church leaders that will be in power. But once again, you're getting beyond where I kind of go, so I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
And you also touch on one that I'm so glad it's like finally been put to death is the one that's been attributed to Boyd Packer about the we were generals in the war in heaven and then our generation was the best generation ever and when we go to heaven everybody will look
that's
down the
not
hollow.
True.
No. Everybody in like
there will
EFY.
There'll be a hush over the audience.
There'll
right?
be a hush.
This one?
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
And which generation did you live in the time of President Gordon B. Hinckley?
Yeah, and it changes.
And everyone will, yeah.
It's like a famous EFY quote.
What's good about both those, the Mitt Romney myth that you just said in that one that you're just talking about, is that the church actually comes out and denies both of those. So it makes my job very easy to actually put easily false on those because they come out and release that. That Mitt Romney one is actually pretty recent. Which is interesting because I all of a sudden will notice whether I get these emails or not. I mean, as far as from friends or family, from the website, within a day, I can tell that something's hit because I'll get two or three emails that day saying, this is going around now about Mitt Romney. And so that's when I start investigating it because I can tell when something's out there.
So are people coming to you saying, hey, Casey, I need you to find out if this is true. Is it to that point now?
Yeah. Well, you can submit on the website, and so that's where I receive most of them.
Where'd that one come from, though? Because I want to tell you, every time, they still read that one.
That quote about the more the generals in heaven?
I have heard that within the last, within the last 6 months.
Oh, boy.
They're
Elder
reading it
Dunn.
To the youth. The youth get it a lot.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Like, and it makes me cringe every time I hear it. So do you know where it came from?
No, I mean, where just, do most of
I think
come
it, I think it came it, from it just, EFY.
Yeah, I'm sure it comes from there are I'm sure there's someone. What usually happens in these situations is someone says something like, I wouldn't be surprised if one day when you return to whatever, and then they say that quote, and then it just kind of grows from there, and they take out the if part of it and make it true.
It's doctrine.
How many submissions are you often getting?
It depends on the day. Because like I said, if something kind of seems to be out there, I get more.
Okay.
If I do something like this podcast, I'll get more because more people will hit the website. So it just depends on my traffic.
Yeah, let's get him some more tickets.
Yeah, what would you think? How many people would you say on a given month visit your website?
I get about 200 visitors a day.
Cool.
A day. That's awesome.
This one is cool. Hulk Hogan said that Mormon ball is the most violent sport.
It is, but I don't think he said that.
Usually... just to add to that myth, he usually said it on David Letterman, if you want the more details on it. But
so he goes on, this is from holyfetch.com. The story claims that famous wrestler and reality TV star Hulk Hogan was on Late Night with David Letterman. Usually the story dates around mid-1980s. And Letterman asked him what the most violent sport that he has ever participated in. This is great. Hulk Hogan responds with Mormon ball. Now, I have played my share of LDS church basketball games, and they can be violent, but I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan has done more violent sports in his life. There is no documented proof that Hulk Hogan ever made this claim, so that myth, that rumor, false.
Busted.
Guess what? I got something to say, guys.
Huh.
There was a missionary couple on my mission. He said he played church softball with Hulk Hogan down in, like, Spanish Fork or something like that.
Is Hulk Hogan even a Mormon? Or
not
any sort of relation?
He's maybe not a Mormon, but he lived in Utah. That's what he claims when he was a teen. His name was Terry Bollea. That's what he told me. I'm not creating this, but this is what he told me.
And this is how this stuff gets perpetuated. Isn't it awesome for
what's
you?
What's great is someone will email that exactly to me and then be mad when I don't change the...
Well, I'm not going to tell you to change it, but that's...
No, I told you. You didn't get my email, did you? I still see this is on the website, and you haven't changed this yet.
Yeah, I get that all the time.
His name was Elder Ride, and that's what he told me. And we were like, really? And he's like, yeah, his name was Terry Bollea, and he played softball with us.
How about this one?
All right.
The month that the church declared Monday night as family night was the same month that Monday night football began.
In the 70s?
Nope.
That's when it happened, right?
Okay, so... So, what do you think?
If they did, it was purely coincidental, I would say, but I'm going to say
no. You're rationalizing.
No.
You're saying false?
False.
What do you think?
True.
What do you think?
I'm going to say exactly the same as that it's true, but it's a coincidence.
Oh, so rationalize that.
Family home evening or family night refers to one evening per week that families, this is from holyfetch.com, that families are encouraged to spend together and study prayer and other wholesome activities. The idea of family home evening began in a letter dated April 27th, 1915 from President Joseph F. Smith and distributed to local leaders. The letter encouraged a church-wide practice of a weekly family home evening. The letter did not give a specific day of the week in which this event should occur. The designation of Monday night, I didn't know this, so this is another good thing about... holyfetch.com. The designation of Monday night for family home evening came in September of 1970.
See, I told you, 70s.
The priesthood bulletin announced that in a recent meeting, the First Presidency and Council of the Twelve approved the setting aside of Monday night for holding family home evening throughout the entire church. Encouragement is now given to stakes, missions, boards, branches, etc. for Monday evening to be family home evening. Families should be left free from church activities so they can meet together in family home evening. So, we can date family home evening on Monday nights to September 1970, but when did Monday night football begin?
1970.
Well, the first ever NFL game on Monday night was held on September 28th, 1964, but it was not televised. The NFL experimented with one Monday night football game per season in 66 and 67, two games per season in 68 and 69, and it wasn't until the 1970 season that the NFL officially had a televised Monday night football game each week and promoted it as Monday Night Football.
Causation, correlation. That's all I got
to
say.
So, that myth, true. Isn't this cool?
True, yeah. But.
True, but what?
True, but with caveat.
All right.
The myth is, did Monday Night Football start at the same time as Monday was decided for family home meeting?
So I would
say false.
If you
word it that
way,
it's true. I did not say, if the myth was...
Was it started because of?
Was it because of? Then you'd say false.
Then I say true.
All right, here's a good one. Actually, all these are great, and I think I probably spent 45 minutes just perusing and going, no way, I've never... Oh my gosh, that's true.
And or, clicking on ads, right?
Yeah, and clicking on ads in order to further promote your business.
I want an extra hot dog at the U Games.
Click.
You know, theculturalhall.com has Google ads too that people could click on if they wanted to.
I haven't Google added my blog yet. No, I don't know how to.
You shouldn't. Oh. You should just start writing for me and forget this silly blog of yours.
That's fine.
Okay. You don't mean it.
No, I do.
Okay.
We're done.
Okay.
Okay.
Missionaries called meeting in the World Trade Center. Rob, true or false? Canceled, I'm sorry. Missionaries canceled meeting in the World Trade Center.
False.
No.
On the day of 9/11?
False.
It is false. You can read about that at holyfetch.com. I love those because it is. And I knew I had that feeling that I wasn't supposed to get on that plane.
A very similar one is they didn't make planes. They were supposed to be on the planes as well. And for some reason, missed their flight. That's also false.
However, I have heard that the creator of Family Guy, Seth MacFarlane, right, was supposed to be on one of those planes. And they've made a big deal out of it. And anytime he's asked about it, he gets like super defensive. And he's like, look, because he canceled the ticket. And so people are like, did you know? You knew, implying that celebrities somehow knew that this was going to happen. And he's like, and he gets like really offended. Has anyone heard this? Is this just me? All right, moving on.
If only there were a holy fetch for Seth MacFarlane rumors.
The government.
The government.
What are you looking at?
Diabetes.
I got two more from stuff that I found. Then we've got stuff that I want to talk about from our Facebook page. And then what is this? Is it a text that someone
sent you? Is a buddy of mine that works for the church. He talks about Brigham Young insisting that empty shafts be put in the Salt Lake Temple that were later discovered to be the perfect size for elevators. Well, the inside was not even designed until after Brigham Young's death, and the original plans for the inside actually included elevators round back when the inside was being built.
Whoopsie poodle.
It's on the website.
That's at holyfetch.com.
By the way, the last 2 minutes, I want to talk about the myth of mid-singles wards.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to do that at the beginning.
What's the myth of them? Because we're all damaged and broken?
That they're so terrible. That it's basically like an island of misfit toys.
Hold on, we'll get to it at the very end.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want
to. I'm teasing
it. That's a huge segue. Thank you for teasing it.
There you go.
Missionary's not allowed to swim because Satan controls the water.
True.
I've heard that. I don't believe it.
Okay. Casey?
I don't even remember. I'm going to say false, but...
It is false. It seems like all missionaries know that they should avoid the water at all costs because Satan has more control over the water. But is this true?
Why would God give control? He's like, I'm sorry. I get everything. I get the mountains and the winds, but you can have the water.
Let me chime in. Two missionaries on my mission died because they went swimming. No, actually, they didn't because they actually fell in the water and drowned. But... If you're swimming, that means you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing because you're not supposed to be swimming.
So the background from this myth comes from Doctrine and Covenants section 61.
Which is?
On their return trip to Kirtland, the prophet and 10 elders had traveled down the Missouri River in canoes. On the third day of the journey, many dangers were experienced. W.W. Phelps, in daylight vision, saw the destroyer riding in power upon the face of the waters. End quote. And now behold, for your good, I gave unto you a commandment concerning these things, and I, the Lord, will reason with you as with men in days of old. Verse 14. This is 61:13-19. Behold, I, the Lord, in the beginning blessed the waters, but in the last days by the mouth of my servant John, I cursed the waters. Wherefore, the days will come that no flesh shall be safe upon the waters. And it shall be said in days to come that none is able to go up to the land of Zion upon the waters, but he that is upright in heart. And as I, the Lord, in the beginning cursed the land, even so in the last days have I blessed it, in its time for the use of my saints, that they may partake of the fatness thereof. And now I give unto you commandment that what I say unto one, I say unto all, that you shall forewarn your brethren concerning these waters, that they come not in journeying upon them, lest their faith fail, and they are caught in snares. I, the Lord, have decreed it, and the destroyer rideth upon the face thereof, and I revoke not the decree. Note that the Lord specifies these waters. He does not say all water. The connection between missionary policy and the reference to the destroyer riding the face of the waters in D&C 61 is a persistent Mormon urban legend. One must consider that LDS missionaries frequently travel by water to reach remote islands. Before the advent of modern air travel, all overseas missionaries were required to travel by ship to Europe, Asia, and other foreign lands. Missionaries, of course, bathe and perform baptisms in water. The church has a general policy prohibiting full-time missionaries from swimming. This is simply a safety precaution to prevent drowning or other water-related accidents.
Yeah, makes sense.
And finally, this one I think is kind of interesting. Church leaders asked Donny Osmond not to serve a mission.
Did they?
No, I heard that about Steve Young.
I heard that about David Archuleta. What's true? What's not?
No, Archuleta's on a mission.
I know.
He's going against the church then.
He's serving. You can't
He's
stop
serving
me.
When they told him not to.
How dare you?
True.
Really?
According to Donny Osmond. The legend is that the prophet or some other church leader told Donny Osmond that he would do more good by not serving a mission. According to Donny, that is pretty much how it went down, but the exact position of the church leaders are not revealed. The following is taken from a question about serving missions that someone asked Donny on his website, Donny.com. Which way to go, Donny Osmond locking down Donny.com before anyone else did. I've always felt that it would have been a great to serve a full-time mission, but circumstances as they were, I was never able to. My parents and church leaders at the time all believed that I was able to do much more good if I remained in the public eye, so to speak, and lived the standards of our religion. Although I've always tried to share my beliefs and my deep convictions in a non-offensive way, I've been very touched by the many who say they first became interested in finding out about our church as they became acquainted with my family and our family values. I do look forward to the time with my wife, Debbie, and I, we can serve a full-time mission for the church. As you may know, our first three sons of our five have now completed two-year missions, and this has been a source of great joy to us and to them.
And I know his oldest son.
Don.
Oh, so you do.
Yeah.
We
Don.
Both
great.
Know him.
Let's talk about
Don,
that.
Don.
No, but I've heard that exact same story about Steve Young. That Steve Young asked whether he should go on a mission, and they said, no, you'll serve the church better to be a famous football player and Mormon.
So the question is Jabari. Dum bum bum.
Jabari Parker.
Jabari.
Be interesting to see what happens. I just want to tease this one. Brigham Young transferred into Joseph Smith. That you can find at HolyFetch.com.
You mean like the Dalai Lama?
I mean, like, go to holyfetch.com if you want to read more about it. Brigham Young transformed into Joseph Smith.
Okay,
that one is one that gives me a lot of emails, too, by the way.
Okay, so I have this one.
That wouldn't even be a reincarnation, that'd be a possession.
I have this one. This one's from my mission again. The MTC story, where they told all the missionaries to go into their rooms and not look out the windows, just to go to bed. And one of the missionaries looked out the window and saw the armies of hell marching across the campus of the MTC. As he was so freaked out, he left his room. As he was leaving his room, he saw Nephite soldiers standing sentinel at all the doors.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard this story?
I have.
I've
heard different versions as well. One time it's the MTC president gets a call in the middle of the night saying,
yes,
you have to get back to the MTC right away. And as he comes up on the MTC, he sees the same kind of vision that you just explained.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
it's one of those ones that there's no shred of, like,
I mean, where did it come
proof,
from?
Obviously, right. I can't say that it's false or true because there's just no proof out there either way.
And I just think of the scene in, like, the Lord of the Rings with those,
yes,
those dead
yes
armies. And anyway, these, like, ghost armies are, like, marching through. Anyway, I was just wondering if you had heard that one.
There are similar stories that, once again, happen more in, like, pioneer days or early Utah kind of days.
Yeah.
Where, and these are actually, I'm not even going to say true, but are at least documented in someone's journals or letters that explain something similar as far as, it seems like there's a temple president, I think it's like the Logan Temple, if I'm remembering it right, that he looked out once and saw, I think it's like four dark figures on dark horses come up and then get turned away at the temple. And that one, once again, I don't want to start rumors, obviously, since my goal is to try to stop rumors. But that's probably kind of the where those kind of stories start, at least.
Okay.
Well, and there is one in the Kirtland Temple times, and you probably know about this, where people in the town thought the roof of the Kirtland Temple was on fire because of the angels that were said to be up there, and it was so bright.
And
that's documented
and
in people's journals.
And you get
well
modern versions of that as far as the St. Louis Temple. They said that fire trucks were called out on the day that the temple was dedicated. That did not happen. But that, once again, that's kind of where those stories, I think, they just, people don't like to tell stories that happened a long time ago, so they just update them and change the figures
a little
bit.
Instead of the St. Louis, and instead of fire, it was a fire truck.
One of my favorite features is also your famous people debunking who is Mormon and who is not. Who do you think's the more most popular kind of inquiry?
Depends.
Liza Dushku.
Like
Elvis Presley gets a lot, actually.
And then there's like Steve Martin. That's a big one.
Steve Martin. Where does that? Do you know where that comes from? Did you ever look into that?
I have an uncle who sings for the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and according to him, he says it starts with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That one time, a son of some member baptized someone named Steve Martin, which is a common name, not the Steve Martin, but baptized a Steve Martin. Told his friends at the Tabernacle Choir, Steve Martin got baptized, and then it grew from there that the real Steve Martin was baptized.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's the best explanation I've ever heard of that.
I'm trying to get to our Facebook page now because I want to talk about ones that people wanted us to talk about.
Should I rant right now?
No.
Oh.
Because I've got it. We're going to do it at the end. Quit trying to derail it. It's two different subjects, pal. All right. So by going to Facebook and then searching the Cultural Hall, we asked, we said, today we're recording an episode about Mormon myths and urban legends. What would you like us to talk about?
Cain and Bigfoot has been addressed, and we talked about that.
Check.
Mormons have horns. Where did that originate?
See, and that kind of falls on Mormon myths that are kind of the Mormon myths that I avoid because it's more of a what the outside culture thinks of us. And yes. I kind of try to keep it more of a cultural thing as far as you almost have to be a member to probably enjoy my website.
Okay, that makes sense.
Three Nephites and someone accuses me of being one of them. I love that. LDS Steve Martin, Ozzy.
Check.
How about the magic hat? If you look at if you look at the South Park episode of you know where everyone becomes Mormon and Joseph Smith looks into the magic hat in order to translate the gospel or to translate the Book of Mormon.
More doctrinal kind of negative stuff that I avoid. So
yeah, feel I was free gonna
to
say
make
that.
Any comments you want, but that's not what I.
It's
get
not
into.
Magic. It was a hat. But it wasn't magic.
I've heard several things about it, but I don't know enough. I don't know if any of us know enough about that to.
Well, and here, so someone else weighed in on it and said, the magic hat, quote, is real. At times, Joseph Smith would use a hat for interpretation to block out the light. I didn't even know this. I thought it was
something.
Oh,
you didn't?
I thought it was something that South Park made up. And I was
no,
like,
no.
Oh,
it's
South
part
Park.
Of history.
Right.
It's one of those things they don't teach in seminary, which they should.
Right.
But you can. According to this, and again, this is someone's post on Facebook, but it looks fairly legitimate because they've cited the source in correct APA style. So I think we're all right. It says that was someone who talks about it is Elder Nelson, Russell M. Nelson, in a talk called it a Treasured Testament in the Ensign, July 1993.
We default to the prophets and apostles on this one.
And we get a lot of doctrinal ones. Somebody's asking about polygamy in the next life.
You yeah.
I imagine Casey think, never goes there.
So I think that this is kind of interesting because someone talks about it and then someone else addresses it within the comments. So Reed says, here's one of my favorite, that there will be polygamy in the next life. Find me one source where it cites that there is polygamy in the next life. It's never been taught. Somehow members of the church try to connect the dots where the Lord hasn't revealed anything about it. We say, well, there are so many sisters that don't get the chance to marry, and by the transitive property, there must be polygamy in the next life. But if we even attempt to use logic by that same transitive property, from the time of Father Adam to date, the mortality rate of children at birth is 50%. And females tend to have a better survival rate at birth. The fact is that the Lord has never revealed polygamy as something that must happen in the next life, at least not that I found, that Reed says. And then Deborah later on says, Reed, isn't the fact that men can be sealed to more than one woman, but women cannot pretty much evidence that there's polygamy in the afterlife? If you're sealed for time and all eternity to more than one woman, isn't that polygamy?
Yeah. She's got a point, but I would say that this is one of those things where this is one of those answers where you look at someone and you go, you don't know until you know, so let
and
it go.
And is that why you avoid stuff like that on holyfetch.com?
Yeah, I mean, I do not want to start any sort of controversy like that. My goal is definitely never to lead anyone astray. And so, yeah, I just avoid those kind of things.
Or send right. someone screaming from the church because they read something on your website.
Right. Right.
Alice Cooper.
I think that's on the website. Maybe it's not, but
yeah.
But not LDS. I think there's some sort of connection where his dad was like a member of one of those sects that like left the church, you know, like the FLDS, but not FLDS, one of those many that left in the early days. So I think that's where that kind of starts.
And there's like 100 breakoffs of the LDS church.
Yeah, which I didn't realize that until very recently, how many different breakoffs there are.
It was a bunch of people going, no, it's me. Okay. No, me. All right. And
what's your favorite three Nephites story?
My favorite probably is the one that you mentioned earlier with the sister missionaries, just because that one is just so, I mean, if I had to think of one that represented Mormon urban legends, that's almost the one I would come up with.
It is sort of the quintessential merman. Those mermans.
And then a lot of people are talking about signs of the times. Salt Lake City becoming the most corrupt, evil city.
The president, the guy, if Mitt Romney becomes president, I'm telling you, I've heard this.
Yeah, talk about the White Horse prophecy.
You know, that one gets angry people at me too. Most
pitchforks.
Most evidence says that it didn't happen, and I'm not going to say. I just will say
but
I'm
what
determined.
Tell people what it is for people that may be listening and going, White Horse Prophecy, what is that?
Why don't you go to the website and read it for me? Okay. So I'm not spreading my own version.
Rob, you go to holyfetch.com and find it. I happen to know that there's a good one on Wikipedia. That
where would that be, though?
There's like a politics or something category, I think.
Yes, politics.
And then there's one about like the Constitution hanging from a throne.
Glenn Beck.
He is Mormon.
Yes,
he's a convert.
And he's taking us down with him.
All right, so here it is. The White Horse Prophecy, according to Wikipedia, is a statement purported to have been made in 1843 by Joseph Smith, founder of the LDS movement, recording the future of Latter-day Saints and the United States of America. The Latter-day Saints, according to the prophecy, would go to the Rocky Mountains and become a great and mighty people, identified figuratively with the white horse described in the Revelation of John. The prophecy further predicts that the United States Constitution will, as you just said, one day hang like a thread and will be saved by the efforts of the white horse. Some have speculated on the basis of the White Horse prophecy that Mormons expect the United States to eventually become a theocracy dominated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The authenticity of the prophecy as a whole, which was not made public until long after Joseph Smith's death, which again you say is a great way to know if something is true or not, is debated, and the leadership of the LDS Church has stated that the so-called White Horse prophecy is not embraced as church doctrine. However, the belief that members of the LDS Church will one day need to take action to save the imperiled U.S. Constitution has been attributed to Smith in several sources and has been discussed in an approving fashion by Brigham Young and by other LDS leaders. Several famous Mormons have made statements related to the White Horse prophecy. For instance, U.S. presidential candidate Mitt Romney, or as I like to call him here in the podcast, President Romney, said that he considers the White Horse prophecy to be a matter of speculation and discussion by LDS church members and not official LDS doctrine.
So now you see why I address it and why I am leery of saying much about it, because I'm going to be getting the emails now.
Yes. Can I just say this? Last week when the, what came down? The
healthcare
thing came down. Uh-huh. Everybody was, not everybody, but
some people.
Some people on Facebook.
One guy.
People on Facebook were quoting, oh no, our nation's going to pot. Oh, this is what, this completes the prophecy of our Constitution hanging by a thread.
I love seeing those.
And people are just so just like worried about our country just because of this one ruling. And so I'm really worried about our Constitution hanging by a thread.
Some?
Because of it.
What are you looking at?
I'm just scratching my...
Okay. And looking out the door?
Yeah.
Trying not to be so distracting. You know, I heard once that Rob, while he was recording this podcast,
I saw a ghost.
What he was doing. And saw an angel in the doorway.
No.
And he said I should.
And he said I was just scratching my leg, but really, it was an angel.
Or was it?
We'll find out coming back in the third block here of the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Time for the third block here of the Culture Hall. Thank you so much for taking time. I know you drove a considerable distance to be with us here, Casey.
Where'd you drive from?
Kaysville.
Oh, Kaysville.
That's a whole county away.
It is. Well, I came from Orem.
Yeah, that's a whole county away.
Yeah.
I came from work.
Yeah.
Rob, thank you for being here as well. HolyFetch.com is the website we've been talking about. It's
yes.
Mormon myths. And do you guys realize next week is the one-year anniversary of the Cultural Hall?
Are we going to have a party?
It'll be episode 52. We are going to have a party, as a matter of fact.
Awesome.
Details on that party, forthcoming. But we are going to have a party, and episode 52 of the Cultural Hall will be me. I'm going to be interviewed by all you folks here in the Cultural Hall.
Can we ask you anything we want?
Any and absolutely everything you want.
And you'll be honest?
I will be honest to a point. My wife has asked that I don't discuss a couple of things in regards to her and I, but other than that, yes.
Fantastic.
So that's coming up next week. Make sure you look for that. Are there any rumors, myths, legends that we've missed, Casey, that you feel like we should definitely bring up?
No. I mean, there's a lot more at the website, holyfetch.com, if you want to go there and check it out. But there's none that I would feel like we have to talk about.
Are there any that when you found out, like what was the most surprising one to you that when you found out it was true, that kind of made you go, wow?
People started emailing in saying that Brigham Young believed in the Bear Lake Monster. And I thought, no way, this is such a joke. And through research, I found many letters that said that basically he lent a long, like 100-foot rope to some member to help capture some sort of lake monster in Bear Lake.
Like Loch Ness, like Nelly.
Right, exactly.
Nessie. Yes. Nessie, that's what it is.
Yes. So that's probably the biggest one that I thought, there's no way this is true, and ended up being at least based in truth.
The more I learn about Brigham Young, the more
right?
I'll just leave it at that.
What an interesting character. Well, and he had, I know another one that I've heard before that I found out to be true is that he had one of his sons was a cross-dressing individual.
I've never heard that.
Would frequently dress in women's clothing.
Who doesn't? You do.
You do because you're a woman. It's a little different.
As do you. I've seen it. I have pictures.
Stop it. other ones that I found that I thought were particularly interesting. I went to the most recent. I appreciate that you have that too because I think the ones that are occurring right, you know, now or right around now are pretty interesting. Talk about Gladys Knight, who's a member of the church. That's pretty cool. Elder Archuleta, Serve a Mission. That's there. The creators of Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yes.
Mormon?
Mormon. Yes. Jacobson.
Yep. Wow.
He was one of the singers in the Aquabats.
I loved that band.
We already did the Elder Bednar one. Did the Salt Lake City tornado destroy a gay bar and jump over the temple?
I love that. I wonder if people pose it that way.
Well, and my favorite thing is you say, well, sort of, but not really. The 1999 Salt Lake City tornado was a very rare tornado that occurred in Salt Lake City, Utah on August 11th, 1999. I remember I was in Euclid, Ohio on my mission during an unusually strong summer monsoon season. It landed in downtown Salt Lake City. The tornado uprooted trees and destroyed temporary tents set up for a retailer's convention, claiming one booth set up supervisor's life. Over 120 homes were severely damaged and over 100 people were reported injured. The Delta Center, now the Energy Solutions Arena, suffered minor damage. Nearly all the trees in Memory Grove were reported to be torn out. Among the damage was a known gay and lesbian bar called The Sun, but the legend that the tornado took out this bar and left the temple untouched is not entirely true. The Salt Lake City temple did not suffer any major damage. It is, in fact, made of granite, as he points out.
Sparkly
but the
granite.
LDS church did suffer some damage. A tree near the temple that was a popular photo spot for weddings was destroyed. Cranes that were working on the construction of the LDS Conference Center were also toppled by the storm. In all, the tornado lasted 14 minutes and caused over $170 million in damages. Damages suffered by members and non-members alike.
You know what we can learn from this? Mm. God doesn't like people who take pictures.
he hates pictures.
Yes.
It's an excellent lesson to be learned.
Thank you.
And then I want to do one more. Mormons dying in the Titanic.
I don't know.
I bet some died.
There had to have been at least an Mormon on there.
The story usually goes that some church leader, usually the England mission president, warned all members not to take passage on the Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
And because of this warning, no members died on that fateful trip. Although it is true that some members were lucky enough to avoid boarding the doomed ship, it is not true that no members died. Irene Colvin Corbett is a known member and Titanic victim. Irene was married to Walter Corbett and had three children. So, anyway.
Right, but is it not true that they were warned not to?
The question is, the myth is no Mormons died on the Titanic, not necessarily whether or not they were warned.
Okay.
There's a story where someone was not warned, but just through fate of maybe not making it there in time, or I can't remember exactly why, they had tickets to be on the ship and did not make it. Later, of course, they used that as a big testimony building experience.
Well,
but
of course.
It was not like anyone warned them not to get on the boat.
Right. As you would. I mean, I think most people would do that. You know, like, oh, well, it was fate. It was meant to be. Or you're just lazy and you missed your you missed your boat.
So this is interesting. This talks a little bit about it. And since you have so many on here, I'm sure that you kind of forget. So it talks about Irene's parents received a letter from her on April 15th in which she said she would take passage on the Titanic. She said several Mormon missionaries were taking passage on the ship. Irene Corbett boarded the Titanic in Southampton. After the sinking, Bishop Colvin telegraphed New York to find out what happened to his daughter. He received an answer, a telegram. New York, April 19th, Levi Colvin, Provo, Utah. Now find name of Mrs. Irene C. Corbett is on the list of passengers having sailed from Southampton, but regret is not a survivor on Carpathia, White Star Line. So that's the telegram. Irene Corbett was one of 14 second-class women who perished in the sinking. The Mormon missionaries that Irene reassured her family would be on the boat ended up not boarding the Titanic. Elder Alma Son was one of the missionaries that had plans to return to the United States on the Titanic. Held up elsewhere, he got word to his fellow missionaries to go ahead without him. They did not want to do that, however, so they waited for Elder Son to join them and passed up the opportunity of sailing on the maiden voyage of the most luxurious ship of its time. Elder Son, who became a general authority in the LDS Church, spoke and wrote of this near miss several times. All right. So, Casey, thank you so much for being here with us. We promised that we would give Brittany 5 minutes at the end of this thing to share her mid-singles board experience. Go to the website again. It's holyfetch.com. Real quick, what's your calling right now in your ward?
I am the gospel doctrine teacher.
How do you like
it? Cool.
I like it. Out of all the, like, callings I've had, it's probably my most favorite.
If you could pick your own calling, what would you pick?
This would be like a made-up calling, but they would let me sit at the back of the sacrament room. And then when time was up, like I'd give like maybe a 1 minute warning, like wave like a flag or something.
Uh-huh.
And then after that 1 minute, I got to just pull the plug on the mic. And
amen. Best answer ever.
Yeah, that would be my dream job. Yeah.
And then what's your favorite part about your faith?
I like how happy members are. Just that it seems like, you know, when you get together, it's just a good time. There's like this community feel when you have like the ward and the members and everyone just helps everyone else out. Just seems like there's a lot of good that happens through the church.
Cool. People can find you at holyfetch.com. Is there anything else that you'd want to share with people or just go there? Do you have a Twitter, that kind of stuff?
I have a Twitter account and a Facebook account. Go ahead and like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. You can do that through the website or just
find me.
Are they
both holyfetch? At holyfetch and
at holyfetch.com, I think, is the Twitter account. And yeah, holyfetch.com on Facebook.
Cool. So we'll put a link on that when we post this episode too, so you can get that and find out more urban myths. Will you come back and join us in the future?
Sure.
Nice. All right, Brittany, it's your mid-singles word.
You okay?
Yes, the reason why you're single is because you breathe like that. Please don't do that.
All right, so just so everyone knows, I'm mid-singles word is 31 to what, 45? Is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah, which one are you going to?
Okay, I don't want to say.
All right.
because I don't want them to feel badly, and I don't want people to avoid it based off of what I'm going to say. But the thing is, I'm 29. Okay, so I'm not 31 yet. I'm not in any danger of being kicked out.
So why are you going to the mid-singles ward?
Because I've heard horrible things about the mid-singles ward.
I go to them.
All right, and people just come back with these horror stories about like how depressing it is there and how people are just like crazy and how it's basically like scraping the bottom of the dating barrel. Because if you think about it, there's just this, you know, it's like, oh, this is what happens when you don't get married in time. They ship you off to the mid-singles ward, you pathetic misfit, you know, island of misfit toys.
Mm-hmm. That's what I like to call it.
Yeah, it's the island of misfit toys. So I thought, you know, I'm going to check this out because I moved down to Orem, so I'll give you that much. I moved down to Orem, and the ward that I'm in right now, the age is about 18 to 24 is the average age. And so being 29, not meeting a lot of guys my age.
That are your age, your maturity level.
Right, and the ones that are my age fall into this sort of Utah County mentality. Okay, I don't understand this. They do this thing where you hang out, you flirt, you could even cuddle, but you don't date.
Yeah.
So, you
problem?
Know, I'm getting tons of attention and no date invitations.
Yeah, you don't cuddle unless you get a date.
I'm not cuddling.
Good.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
That'll do it.
And I'm not bringing over baked goods every 2 minutes.
Well, because you're not desperate.
Right.
And how old are these people inviting you?
Well, some of them are younger, but some of them are my age. The guy, it's that's okay.
It's
that's
the
whole,
mentality.
That's a, yeah.
These people don't know how to date.
Yeah, exactly. And that
wow,
it's
Rob
annoying.
Sounds pretty angry.
But that's a whole nother topic. Kay. So I decided to go to this. So someone says, well, come to the mid-singles ward. I'm like, okay, I'll
it'll
go.
It'll be different.
Yeah, it'll be different. And there'll be people more around your age. I'm like, that sounds great. So I go and I sit down and it's fast and testimony meeting, which for those of you who don't know, means it's open forum for anybody in the congregation to stand up and express their feelings, beliefs, thoughts about the gospel, which usually ends up turning into more of a story-mony. Where
in
they,
some cases, yeah, not always.
Not always. Where they get up and talk about all the horrible things that have been happening in their lives. So one of the first people that gets up is this guy. He's got an Irish brogue, right? Mm-hmm. So, and one of the first words out of his mouth are he says something to the effect of, I'm a trust fund baby. Does that mean I have more money than you? Yes, it does. Does that mean that I'm better than you? No, it doesn't. But it does mean that I have more money and my life is easier than yours. But because, and then he proceeds to rant. And at one point he says, I am genetically superior to you. That is just a fact. You do not want to go up against my family intellectually. You will lose. That is also a fact. But does that make me a better person than you? No, it doesn't. We're all sinners. Go home and repent. I think he called us to repentance 10 times.
Nice. Pregnant man gives birth. That's a fact.
That's a fact. That's not me talking. That's science. So
nice.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I think afterwards I found out that I think he injured his back and he might have been on some really intense painkillers. So we might give him a pass.
That's
on
a
this.
Fact.
That's a fact.
I got a text from Brittany while she was in her fast and testimony meeting yesterday. Says, holy hell. Best fest and testimony meeting ever. Quoting, so it's not swearing, right?
No,
is that
no.
the justification?
And hell is in
here?
The Bible, so it's fine.
It's my first time at a mid-singles ward, and good crap. I don't have words. I've seen musicals with less drama. Complete with a dude with a Hitler stash.
Hitler stash. True story.
There's a guy at Hitler stash at the mid-singles ward?
Yeah. So, okay. But overall, I would just like to say, if I had three words to describe that meeting, it was awkward and holy crap, how awkward can something get? So
you'll be back next Sunday?
Oh yeah. So much
I have
more.
No other choice.
You're gonna so put off marriage and so you can actually be a member of that ward.
No, in fact, if I reach 31 and I'm not married, I am going to join a Mormon nunnery. I will start my Mormon nunnery.
Or Mormon.
Get thee to a nunnery.
Yes. The end. And you know, so there you go. Something happens to people when they turn 31 and they're not married. They lose their minds, apparently.
That's what happened to me. That's why I'm at the mid-singles ward.
But maybe I'll try your mid-singles ward.
Yeah, I often
recommend it.
Well, I've been to all the other ones and I like ours.
I've shopped it around.
I have been shopping around.
Now, Casey,
cuz you're
I
still
heard
here.
That it's a myth that if people continue to go to mid-singles wards, one of these times there's going to be a bomb that goes off at a mid-singles ward, and everyone who dies will be paired off with everyone who's there at the mid-singles ward.
Heaven help us.
And there will be an exact equal amount. And so everyone who's there at the mid-singles ward will get married. True or false?
I haven't heard it. I will look into it. Just go back to holyfetch.com sometime and you'll... You'll probably see that answer.
I'll save you the time. It's true.
And you boys in Utah County, man, start asking girls out. Ask them on dates.
Skippy tried it with you. What's going on?
I don't know.
He's a boy in Utah County.
Skippy is a great guy.
Uh-huh. Yep. So there's always something to it. Oh, no. Ask me out. Oh, except not you.
No.
Except not you,
okay,
pal.
Okay, I'm sorry. One more thing. I am actually catching a little bit of crap because I talk about on my blog how people aren't asking me out anymore. How I used to get asked out a lot, and now I'm not, and I don't know what happened. Like, if it's like milk that expires and like my expiration
date problem.
Just turned.
But then, two words, Utah
but then,
County.
Right. But then people take me up on it. Like, people have been taking me up on it. And I'm I feel horrible, but some of these people are not people who I would go out with. So I guess I have to specify people who I'm interested in dating aren't asking me out.
Oh, sure. Put that stipulation on it.
Sorry.
That makes so much more sense. If only we could read minds.
Yeah.
If only I knew the girls that were interested in me. Then I'd ask them out.
Exactly.
Oh, come on.
We hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body.
And for those of you who weren't able to be here this week, you can join us next week.
And please bless that you'll be able to travel home safely when the time comes.
Bless the sugar out of this crap.
Especially that. Especially bless all the weirdos in the mid-singles ward.
We'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row.
Of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat on the back row.